Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 15 through chapter 2, verse 10. Behold, in the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort. Watch the road. Strengthen your flanks. Fortify your power mightily. For the Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob, like the excellence of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots come with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the spears are brandished. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their walk. They make haste to her walls, and defense is prepared. The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed, she shall be led away captive, she shall be brought up, and her maidservants shall lead her as with the voice of doves, beating their breasts. Though Nineveh of old was like a pool of water, now they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts, and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the defender and refuge of his church, dear fellow redeemed, what an amazing response. After Jonah learned, finally, not to say no to the Lord, he went to Nineveh and proclaimed the word of God to the people. And amazingly, the Ninevites listened. They repented of their evil ways, turned to the Lord, and the Lord spared them all. We read, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. That was 150 years before Nahum's time. And now, 150 years later, we see that Nineveh's repentance was short-lived. They again fell back into their evil, immoral, ungodly, cruel ways. The Lord used the Assyrians to be the instrument to punish the northern kingdom of Israel for their idolatry, for their ungodliness, and to carry them away into captivity. But the Assyrians didn't understand that God was using them as an instrument. Instead, they gloried, they boasted in their own strength, in their own power, in their own cruelty. The book of Nahum has one theme. Nineveh, the haughty, proud capital of the Assyrians, will be destroyed. It will be brought to an end. God's grace, his mercy will finally come to an end, and this time there will be no sparing. In chapter 1, Nahum describes God's power and wrath toward the enemies of his people, but he also describes God's patience, his goodness, and protection for those who still look to him as a refuge. And in chapter 3, he lists all the iniquities, all the evil deeds that brings Nineveh's destruction to be inevitability. Our text this morning, then, seems to be one full of gloom and doom, despair and destruction. But when we apply the lesson of the destruction of Nineveh to our own lives, what we see is really God's grace and God's mercy and our future glory. So, from Nineveh's destruction, we see that it ensured Judah's salvation. And Nineveh's destruction also is a preview of Judgment Day. We read again the first verse of our text. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feast, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Nahum is picturing a military courier who is running back from a battle, announcing as loud as he can to the people of Judah and the king that the battle's over. The enemy's defeated. Judah, keep your festivals, keep your feasts, fulfill your vows. Both Isaiah and Nahum had prophesied that the Assyrian nation would be destroyed before the coming of the Messiah, and that would assure the salvation of all of God's people. The destruction of Nineveh and the Assyrians assured not only Nahum, but assures us too that God is in control of all of history. As he said many times before, history really is his story. And his story always, always includes Jesus. For Jesus is the heart and core of history. Oh yes, the Lord allows evil, ungodly nations to go so far, but no further. He allows pandemics and disasters to go so far, but no further. And he does that in order to protect us, his people, his church. How comforting that is to all of us to know that God goes to all these lengths, even changing the course of history if need be, for the protection of his children, of his believers. This prophecy of Nineveh's destruction ensured Judah's salvation. Their enemy, not only the Ninevites, but all the enemies of God's people would be destroyed. The unbelievers, the heretics, the believers of false gods, the atheists, the agnostics, the Antichrist, and Satan himself. Those who fight against and seek to destroy God's church, his people, are fighting a losing battle because they're fighting against the Lord God of heaven and earth. Those who dare to oppose the church and its teachings and try to destroy it, no matter how powerful the individual or the corporation or the nation, God says, they won't win. They'll be destroyed. Even the greatest enemy of mankind and of God, Satan, has been crushed. His head has been crushed. His authority has been taken away through Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And on Judgment Day, he, Satan, will be cast into the outer torments of death, of hell, together with all of his own, when Christ comes again on that last great day. How comforting this message was to Nahum and the people of Judah. That powerful enemy has now come to an end. How comforting that message is to all of us today. The many anti-Christian groups of today who seek to destroy God's word, seek to destroy the church, will not win. Nothing will outlast Christianity and escape God's judgment. Of that we are assured. And that surety of the defeat of our enemies also assures us of the salvation of God's people through our victor, our conqueror, Jesus the Christ. Now, this is the second point this morning. Nineveh's destruction is a preview of Judgment Day. Mankind holds a view that might makes right. If you're the biggest bully on the block, you get your way. If you're the most powerful corporation, you get your way. If you're the most powerful nation, you make sure that you get your way. Well, if there ever was a nation who deserved the title of most likely to survive, Assyria would be that one. From a human viewpoint, they were indestructible. They had hundreds of thousands of soldiers and chariots and horses. They had all kinds of resources, fortified defenses, cities scattered throughout Asia with walls. Nineveh was 1 million strong. It was surrounded by an 8 mile wide wall, the circumference of 8 miles, thick wall of defense. No way that Assyria would ever be destroyed. And yet, what do we read in our text? In verses 1-3, "He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. The Lord will restore the excellence of Jacob like the excellence of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and ruined their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots come with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the spears are brandished." Can you picture what Nahum's saying? Can you see all the bloodshed? He's saying to those Ninevites, "Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, you strong and mighty men in heart and mind. Prepare for battle, for the attacker." But the attacker, literally the scatterer, is none other than the Lord God. In 612 BC, the Lord used the Babylonian Empire to enter into Assyria and one by one pick off one city after another city after another city and finally get to the great powerful city of Nineveh. And they assaulted that city dressed in their scarlet robes with their red shields and destroyed it. Listen again to the words of Nahum and note the actions of this once mighty, powerful, proud people. Verses 4-5. "The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. He remembers his nobles, but they stumble in their walk. They make haste to her walls, and the defense is prepared. But Saul, no avail." We read in 6-7, "The gates of the rivers are opened, and the palace is dissolved. It is decreed he shall be led away captive. He shall be brought up, and her maidservants shall lead her as with the voice of doves beating their breasts." The river gates are thrown open, and the palace collapses. Now, that was not done by man, the Babylonians. That was God's doing. For historians, studying back in this history, find that 3 years into the siege of Nineveh, 3 years the Babylonians had surrounded Nineveh, but they could not penetrate the walls. 3 years into that siege, there were some heavy, heavy rainfalls. The Tigris River swelled and overflowed its banks and washed out 2 miles of the walls around Nineveh. And the Babylonians were able to enter in easily and destroy the city. Man proposes, but God disposes. This once powerful city of canals was now emptied, and all their contents were also carried away. We're told the people crying, "Halt, halt, stop, stop." But the enemy would not turn back. In verse 10, we read, "She," meaning Nineveh, "is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts, and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color." Remember, this is a prophecy. It hasn't happened yet, and yet it's in the past tense. Nahum is saying, the heart of the people, once so proud and arrogant and so haughty, now will melt like wax. Despair will grab hold of them. They'll tremble. Their face will turn white in fear and anguish. What countless thousands of enemies had felt when they were being defeated by the Assyrians Now the Assyrians will feel, for the very first and last time. And then in verse 9, Nahum says, "Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold, take all the contents. It's endless. All of Nineveh's wealth, all the treasures, will be either carried away or destroyed." As we said, in 612 BC, all that Nahum was prophesying came to pass. Racing horses, chariots clambering through the streets, careening, soldiers with scarlet robes, red shields, slaughtering thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, heaps of dead bodies. It was complete annihilation. In fact, so great was the destruction of Nineveh that for many, many years, scholars did not believe that what Nahum, Isaiah, and Zechariah said about the destruction of Nineveh, it really happened. They believed that Nineveh was a fable, a myth, because it didn't exist until 1820. An English archaeologist sketched some huge mounds north of the Tigris River and wondered if that was maybe the mythical home of Nineveh. And 25 years later, they began digging, and archaeologists found the destroyed city of Nineveh. They have dug up palaces, libraries, homes, parks, artifacts, records that make the Assyrian kings now household names in secular history. But for almost 2,000 years, the only place those names of those kings were found recorded was in the Bible. Once again, the Bible is proven to be true. In our second scripture reading this morning, we hear Jesus talk about the judgment. The picture of Nineveh's great destruction is a preview of Judgment Day. Even as Nineveh prided themselves in their strength and their power and their ingenuity and their weapons and their numbers of people and thought they would live forever as a nation, so also people today rely upon themselves and they are secure in themselves. They rely upon their money or their investments. They rely upon their intelligence, their wisdom. Maybe they rely upon peace treaties or their government or their weapons or environmental concerns or scientific advancements for their peace and their security and their safety. And as we heard, the Lord laughs in the heavens. When we think about this pandemic, how our world can't even solve an invisible virus, how in the world can we think that we can be secure for our future in ourselves or stand against the wrath of God? Is anyone listening to God's word? Is anyone being led to repent of their sins and look to Jesus Christ before Judgment Day finally comes? Even as everything suddenly came to an end for Nineveh, so also everything will come to an end for this great, powerful nation of ours and all the large and small nations and all the peoples of this world. On that last great day, there will be anguish and distress and ruin and destruction that the world has never seen before. Great cities, large skyscrapers, huge bridges that we glory in will collapse and be destroyed. Zephaniah says, "In the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live in the earth." Everything will come to a stop. Time will cease. Eternity will be ushered in when Christ comes again. The world will be making its normal cry of more, more, more. And the Lord will say, no more. It's over. God will put up with no more on that last day. The only escape is by trusting in Jesus, by taking refuge in his shed blood. Seek the Lord. Seek righteousness. Not our own righteousness. We have none. But in his righteousness. His righteousness is his perfect life lived for us. His sacrificial death upon the cross given for us. And his resurrection from the grave. That's our justification. And seek with humility. For only a humble heart can be led to repentance and trust in the Lord. The other day, I was putting out some vegetables in the front yard for our neighbors, and one of our neighbors walked by, 90-year-old lady, and we started talking about COVID, and she said, what are we going to do about this COVID thing? And she was all upset. And so I kind of directed her to Jesus, and I said, well, we trust in Jesus as our Savior, and trust in him, and he'll take care of us, and you know, this is kind of a picture of Judgment Day. And she told me that she had been raised a conservative in a conservative Christian church, but now she's a Unitarian. Now she believes that her purpose in life is to make life pleasant for others and be good and kind to other people. And she says she can't believe in Christianity because she cannot believe that God would damn those who do not believe in Jesus as the Savior. To her, that kind of God is unloving. And she mentioned about Buddha and Allah. And so I stopped her and said, you know, Buddha and Allah, those man-made gods, they're the real unloving ones because they demand of their people that they got to earn their own way to heaven, which is impossible. But the triune God of the Bible loved us so much that he damned his own son. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us and pay for all of our sins and gives it to us as a free gift. She was unconvinced. And she said, I can't believe in a God that would damn people simply because they didn't believe in Jesus. I asked her if she died, if she believed she'd go to heaven. She said she wasn't sure, even if there was a heaven. But she said, if I do go there, I know there'll be others there too that didn't believe in Jesus. Unfortunately, she said, Christianity is too restrictive and too exclusive. Hopefully, we'll meet again and talk some more. What an amazing, tremendous message for us today in our text. Mighty Nineveh, a city you would never think could ever come to an end, is destroyed. Someday, this powerful nation and all the nations of the world will also come to an end. May we be found safe in Jesus, in his loving arms. May we, with humble hearts, continue to come before our Lord, confessing our sins and looking to Jesus alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation. O Christ, who died and yet dost live, to me impart thy merit, my pardon seal, my sins forgive, and cleanse me by thy Spirit. Beneath thy cross I view the day when heaven and earth shall pass away, and thus prepare to meet thee. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.